Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know why this goes down. What about now? Hello? Hello?
Hello,
okay.
I think we do have sound now. Hello.
All right.
Okay, great. Okay, just we're going to check our speaker sound. I apologize for the delay today. There's so many things going on and balancing. I'm going to just go ahead and get us started. And I appreciate everybody who comes to HWC Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio to listen to our shows, and when we have a special guest, it is a special occasion. There's also some world news that I wanted to just highlight for those people who are unaware that there is some bombings going on in Mumbai, and we want to keep the people in Mumbai in our prayers and our hopes that things will be recovered as quickly as possible and everything is taken and gotten under control. Okay, if anybody has any news for that, they can put it onto the live chat. I do please ask people to go onto the live chat and put your comments and questions. We're going to go ahead and record the show today, and as we recorded, people can always get the downloads, the archives. We've got over 22,000 listens to our shows, which is a really wonderful, encouraging number. Jonathan, are you
yes.
able? Okay, I'm glad you can hear me, and we've got this straightened out. We've got plenty of time, and stay relaxed and calm. I want to just do the regular introduction that I am Debbie Brooks, founder of Homeopathy World Community on HWC Blog Talk Radio Show. And over the next month or so, we're going to be restructuring the show and plan to schedule some of these new guests and authors. Our regular organic gardening with Kaviraj is on hold while Kavi travels around the world. And we continue our regular Thursdays with Alan Phillips discussing the legal issues behind vaccination and your rights in the United States. Plus, we have on once a month constitutional law expert Greg Glazer. Around every other week, we have been having a Sunday night meditation to nurture ourselves as we are the givers and nurturers of others, especially as homeopaths always giving. We need to also receive and give a little, do a little deep breathing for ourselves. And on Monday, we are continuing the reading of Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine. Every so often, there is a slight break on our Mondays. when the weeks get pretty hectic, but we will continue and finish up all of the aphorisms. For those who are new to Blog Talk Radio, there is a live chat where you can post your comments and questions. Our special guest today is Jonathan Shore. He is on the line with us. I am so thrilled to introduce Jonathan because he is one of our very own Homeopathy World Community members who has contributed so much of his valuable thoughts and life experience on many long threads. One of them is regarding placebo and placebo effects. He has jumped in on the philosophical question of dialogue without prejudice. He has given us many insights on the organon of medicine. He has also provided for us a dialogue around the core idea of the macaw, and that relates to our talk today. He has also provided us a set of videos for the radium bromatum proving that he did in that, Jonathan, that you did in 1996. You've really been on the network more than you think, I guess.
I know. I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, gee, is that me she's talking about?
Really? Yes, that's you. You've been here. And I've always wanted to be able to ask you so many questions and other people who have you wanted to ask. So get on to the live chat, introduce yourselves, have some chitter chatter, a little Wren's talk, and we will be looking at the bird themes, the provings, and the energy of the bird. Jonathan Shore graduated from medical school in South Africa some 40 years ago. After 4 years of hospital practice in various specialties, he embarked on a search for methods of healing, which came from a deeper understanding of the meaning of health, and studied many different therapies ranging from acupuncture and Tai Chi Chuan to Jungian psychology and Gestalt, Shiatsu, and even herbal medicine. In the 1970s, Jonathan became the clinical and executive director of the first holistic health center in the United States that's located in California, where he now resides. Since 1982, Jonathan has been in the full-time practice of homeopathy in the San Francisco Bay Area, where he is one of the primary founders of the Hahnemann Medical Clinic and the core faculty of the Hahnemann College of Homeopathy. Over the past 20 years, the last two decades, Jonathan, you have lectured extensively both in the United States and worldwide, and you are on the editorial board and as past president of the Journal of the American Institute of Homeopathy. Is there anything you have not done?
I'm sure there must be lots of things I haven't done.
It looks like we do have guests on the live chat, by the way, and I welcome them to chime in there and post comments, high five, whatever. Let us know that you're really listening.
And Debbie, I'm sorry, can I see the comments?
The way that you can see the comments, and if there are comments, I will read them aloud over the show.
Okay.
But if you go to the website, the Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community, and you click on today's show, I'm not going to do it because if I do, it starts to make a lot of
noise.
It replays the shows and then it interferes and makes a lot of noise on here. But, you know, we're pretty flexible. If you want to go ahead in there and try it, so that you can see the guests that are in here. And so basically you go to that link, the blog. Let me see if I get it for you. Then let's see.
I looked at it. It said it's not available.
And get started with the general introduction of, is there anything specifically that you want to tell people at the outset? Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
He lost his voice.
No, why don't you go ahead and then
I
can see you. Oh, you can't hear me?
Okay. Jonathan, right. I don't know where he's gone. Maybe he clicked away from something, and that's why we don't hear him. Hello, Ildiko.
Hello.
I'm so happy you're here. We're gonna, you know, we're always working with this with the technology. Not everybody knows how to do Blog Talk Radio, and it seems like I think we lost him.
Well, I haven't gone anywhere.
I might end up calling him on the telephone just to make sure he's with us. He's not responding. So let me call him on it. I'm going to call him on his phone, see what that does for us. Although it will mean somebody sing while I'm doing this. I'm going to put you. I may try and find some musical interlude for us while we're waiting for this.
Hello.
Okay, so please be patient. We do have. I set it up for 60 minutes. So we do have time, okay? Just hang in there until I can get him back on the line. Maybe it's my own fault. Maybe I clicked something and I lost the sound. Let me check my sound. My sound seems to be on. Can anybody hear me? Okay,
I can hear you.
Fine. I'm just checking my sound level and see if that's the problem. Oh. Okay.
Hello?
Okay, I got it.
You got it?
All right. I got you. You know, I...
Yeah, I didn't go anywhere.
Oh, well, were you talking? You know what I did? You don't want to know. I put in my headset, and I didn't have my headset on. Okay. Okay. I hope you were talking to the folks there and telling them something about the birds.
No, I was waiting to hear from you.
Okay, I'm going to let you just introduce something about the work that you've been doing recently.
Recently? Well, recently it's nothing to do with birds, really. It's, butterflies.
Aha!
The birds. The book which we published, at least myself and Annika Hoagland and Judy Schriedman, I think we published it in 2004 or 2005. And so it for about 7 years or 8 years before that, I was working on this topic, but since that time, it's sort of, well, I did that, if you know what I mean.
So did you not? Is it exactly the same as it was when you published it in 2004 or 5, or did you update it and add any further?
No.
Okay.
No, I have. Well, I'll tell you an interesting story, which was actually very interesting, is my colleague, Carl Robinson. I did a seminar for, you know, Carl is out of Dallas, I think, or Houston. And he's a very generous guy, and he set up homeopathy schools all over South America and devotes his time and his energy and his money. Anyway, I did something for him in Guatemala on the birds.
Uh-huh.
And he came back, and one of his patients is psychic. And he was speaking to her. She said, "Oh, Carl, about 30% of your patients are birds." And Carl wrote to me, and he said, "Jonathan, what have you got to say about this?" You know, and I thought, "Geez, Carl, what can I say?" And then I thought, well, I wonder how many of my patients are birds. And I sat down and I went through the list of the people who I'd seen in the last year, and especially those where the remedy had worked, and 30% were birds.
That's interesting.
So it's not to say that, of course, now after all these years and effort, I have a certain sensitivity towards this group of people, and I guess maybe more of them come to me. But I won't say that I have, that what is in the book, that has not changed.
Okay.
That has
remained the same. That information remains the same.
That information remains the same.
Well, yes. Can I ask you a question about that? Well, I mean, you've introduced a lot of different thoughts to me regarding the birds that perhaps a lot of people are overlooking the possibility that their patients could use a bird energy. But 30% is a extremely high percentage, one third of the patients. And I, right away, my mind clicked to tuberculinum or Avier. I mean, these are these nosodes that are used typically for this the lungs, something that is addressing a weakness in the lungs and an underlying miasm per se. And perhaps really what the person is needing is some bird remedy. Am I off base?
No. So this 30%, this was absolutely astounding to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it was the last thing I expected. You know, many, many years ago, let's say 20 years ago or something, 15 years ago, I used to keep careful records of all the prescriptions. I did this for about 10 years. And I compared the frequency of my prescribing with the Hahnemann Pharmacy list. In other words, I took the cases where I felt the remedies had actually acted, and I compared them with the frequency of remedies prescribed from Hahnemann Pharmacy for all prescribers. And the proportions were very similar, very similar. There was one little difference. I used more carcinosin at the time because I understood something more about it. But the other remedy, and the main remedy, was sulfur, and it was like 6% of my prescriptions. And that seemed to be about right. So this 30% on the birds is really weird.
It's very high. Very high number.
Yes, it's very high. And I would not anticipate that this is the case in other people's practices. And so I feel there's many things which go on which we don't understand. And so I'm assuming that people are coming to me, so to speak, for these reasons, that they don't know it and I don't know it, but that's why they're coming to me.
So, Jonathan, are you implying that people or patients or clients are attracted to certain homeopaths based upon an energy attraction, that they're going to be able to find their healing remedy because that's who they, both the homeopath is attracting those types of people and the people are seeking out the homeopath who, I mean, if there's a community with more than one that they could choose to go to.
Yes, I think there must be something like this taking place. Something like this. And of course, then I'm seeing more birds than other people because I'm sensitive to it. So
right.
if one sort of comes through my my office, so to speak, the chances are that I'm gonna see it because,
right, because
I'm in the back because I'm always looking in a way.
Well, your vision is such that you have the knowledge of what is going to be the expression of the bird energy.
Yes.
And so you can recognize those signals. Whereas somebody who has never seen a bird or heard a bird, they're not going to get the signal, and they're
right.
going to look for something else. They're going to be unsatisfied.
Yes.
And yet that's the only thing. They don't have another tool in their toolbox.
And I think the other point here is that there's no doubt that if we had to find the exact similimum on every occasion, we'd hardly help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, there's, to hit the bullseye on every shot is confined to a few masters. Most of us, we just got to hit the target.
Right.
And if we hit the target with the remedy, which is sort of close enough to the general vibration, it will move the person in the right direction.
Right.
And I feel most prescriptions are of this nature.
So most prescriptions you would say are within on the what's the target called, when you're shooting an arrow onto the whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be right on center, but
no.
It can be within the range, and it's because humans or living organisms are dynamic in themselves, and we're constantly changing, and who knows, maybe we need something one day and something else another day. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I suspect, I used to think that it was a given that one would need to change remedies according to the layers in the organism. And now, I don't think it's a given. I think that's just the way it is for us. In other words, it's related to our level of skill.
Can you repeat that in another way so I get it more clearly?
Yes. What I mean is that, if I can put it this way, every prescription has relative levels of clumsiness. And it may be that for any person, there is just one remedy. But to actually, the number of cases in which I see clearly enough, I see through the case clearly enough, for that is rare.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is I see something and I prescribe, and the situation changes as a result of the action of the remedy, and then I see something else.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly because my vision doesn't go deep enough the first time. This is how I understand it. So, sure, people change from day to day, but really they don't. Fundamentally, there's not a hell of a lot of change going on.
Okay.
In other words, just because you get up in the morning and you put on a certain set of clothes, and then when you go out for dinner, you change your clothes and you put on fancy clothes, and then when you paint your house, you put on painting clothes, you haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just looking at you from the surface, I think, wow, she looks so different. Especially if I don't know you. I can get really confused when you put your hair up and you look really fancy, or on the other hand, you just got your rags on and you haven't slept too good. And I can not recognize you.
That's true.
That's just because I don't know you. Your mom, she would have no difficulty.
That's a really beautiful analogy, a metaphor for how we can perceive the remedy that the person is needing, you know, is expressing that we feel that they could enhance their life by this surface vision instead of seeing the totality of the picture of all the aspects of that individual.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to continue with the same line of thought, or can I ask a different question?
No, just go wherever you want.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a specialist?
Well, I'm certainly a specialist homeopath. I mean, I consider myself a specialist homeopath. But I don't consider that I specialize. Well, no, I'll back off from that. I'd say what has happened unconsciously is that my interest is really in how the mind, in the workings of the mind. And so I've seen over the years that that's really where my interest lies. So you could say that I'm a sort of, I don't know, I'm not a psychiatrist. And people come to me for all kinds of complaints. But my actual interest is in how their underlying attitudes are formed. I put it that way.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Are you getting somewhere with that? Understand? Are you? I mean, I don't know if you're writing another book, but you know, because,
I've done my book.
Because you know, you have your background is in Gestalt and Jungian psychology and all of these other fields, which are, again, go back to what you just said, understanding how the mind works, and you're saying their underlying attitudes are formed. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more. Is it their development over a lifetime you're talking about, or something else?
Yeah. So one of the things which has interested me a lot, and I feel in a certain sense this is a deviation from what I might say is pure Hahnemannian homeopathy. Some say it's not, some say it is, you know. But I have become really interested in whether I can see, so to speak, the nature of the person in front of me. And I'll say one case which is really, really clear, which was this woman who was very industrious, very hardworking, a very special person who did courses all over the world on death and dying. And she came because her feeling was that she was going to die before she finished her work. And she was just in her early 50s. And it was like half my life is over. And I'm never going to be able to finish this work. And I need the energy to finish this work. She's working like 17 hours a day for 30 years. And at the same time, I had this feeling about her. I could not elicit, no matter what I asked, how I tried, any evidence of joy. There was no matter, even the things which really interested her when I got her to speak about them, there was no feeling behind it. And I looked at this case, and finally I thought, always trying to see, what is this person compensating for? Why are they working so hard? What's pushing them to do this? And I realized there was no compensation here. This was the fundamental nature of this person. And I gave her the condor.
Oh.
Which is this big vulture who is concerned with the transformations between the dead and the living. This is their sort of function, is to transform dead material into living material.
I was wondering why you went ahead and chose a bird, when I hear you, it could easily be an insect or a mineral.
No, because that's not the function of minerals.
Oh.
Minerals don't transform dead matter into living matter. They are not concerned with the passage between life and death.
Okay.
Now mushrooms, they
yes.
live on dead matter, right?
Uh-huh.
So they sort of come into that particular realm.
So there are a lot of things on Earth that are transforming matter into another form.
Yes, but there's one thing to transform, and it's another thing to... for me, it was the movement between two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Between the world of the living and the world of the dead.
Okay.
This was what I felt was her fundamental job.
No joy for her in that, huh?
She was dead.
Oh, gosh.
That was the point.
Oh, she was in the state of being in the dead.
That's why she came.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a long case, and I think what I'm trying to say, which is difficult to explain without, and of course, there were bird features.
Uh-huh.
She had lower extremity problems. She loved to sing. She loved to travel. She traveled around the world. There were these other features as well. So I'm never prescribing a prescription on one symptom is for me the final act of desperation.
Okay. Right. So is that keynote prescribing or not? I don't know.
Probably. And then it depends, of course, on the circumstance. So
uh-huh.
you're there and you're seeing 50, 100 people a day, and you're going to the hospitals, and there's someone who's dying of diarrhea, and you see that they're drooling at the same time, and you give them mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, but these are not the cases I'm dealing with.
Right.
I'm dealing with people who've been, I'm the end of the road for most cases who come to see me.
They've tried everything. They've tried everything else. Are you saying most? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, pretty much.
And then how do they find you then?
I guess one of their friends tells them something like that. And mm-hmm. they hear, and then they have to search me up on the internet.
Okay.
If someone actually finds me, then I'm happy to see them.
Okay. That's good to know.
They have to do a little bit of work.
Okay, that's really good to know, and I'm glad we're doing this show so that people do find out a little bit more about you and your work, helping people to heal and come back from the dead, in all different aspects.
Right.
So, you know, as you were talking about this transformation process, I see why you're now going into the butterflies.
Yes, and I generally. Strange as it may seem, I'm not a theoretician. I actually don't work from theory. And so towards the end of the bird stuff, I saw that every proving that we did, that Annika and Judy and I, we did these provings, and every proving that we did, somebody mentioned a drug. The heron, someone said, oh, it's like I'm on absinthe. Another one, someone said, oh, yes, cannabis. Another one was a love drug, every proving. And so I thought, oh, there must be some relationship between drugs and birds.
Oh.
And also, because nobody takes the birds, you know, there's the issue of freedom.
Yes.
And of not being restricted, of not being put in this sort of box. And, of course, no one takes a drug to be where they are. The only reason to take a drug, and I'm talking about psychoactive drugs, is to be somewhere else.
Right. We think of people who take drugs as escaping something in their life. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Well, how shall I say? I only think that they want to be somewhere else.
Oh.
Yes. As soon as you, I've become very careful around these things.
Okay.
And when I say I'm not a theoretician, I mean I'm not a theoretician. So mm-hmm. you look at someone, they take a drug, and you theorize that they're escaping.
Uh-huh.
Yes, for me, it's just they don't want to be where they are, for whatever reason.
Right. So you leave
reason.
You
maybe
leave it.
Maybe someone is torturing them.
Right.
Maybe there's no air in the room and they have to move to another room. I'm just like, they don't want to be where they are.
Right. So you keep it as broad and open a spectrum as possible so that they can fill in what it is that taking a drug is for them.
Right. And as simple as possible. As simple.
As simple. Okay.
Yes. So I'm not passing judgment or trying to interpret psychologically. I'm just looking at the movement.
Okay.
This is someone who wants to be somewhere where they're not.
Right.
Now, almost everyone wants to do that. Right? There are very, very few of us who, when we check in at any one moment, we can say, I'm totally happy right here where I am. But where that force is really strong, it pushes it sort of into the drug realm, given other characteristics. So I'm looking at, I would say, simple and fundamental movements. And I try not to get too bogged down in the small details.
It's strange because the way that you're opening up the possibilities for finding a most the best similimum for the individual is looking at them as just this movement, this energy that's going to go wherever it needs or wants or desires or has to go based on the forces within and within them or outside of them that pushes them in that direction. And yet the dichotomy of your intense love and passion about finding how the mind works and this Gestaltian Jung, that's very interpretive, is it not? Or am I incorrect?
That stuff I did in a previous life.
Ah, okay.
if I could put it this way. Yes.
Right.
In other
right.
words, I understood things from that. But that doesn't mean that that's how I view the world at this time.
Okay.
Right.
I'm really interested,
trying to see where does this organism want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say why it wants to get there, all this stuff. Yeah, maybe. In one case, that's important. In another case, it's totally unimportant. But where it wants to go, and in a way, what methods it uses to get there. So I'm really, really interested in the why I said this is a sort of a deviation in a way, is that I'm starting to look not for pathology, but for who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I sort of, so any person is a pattern, and that pattern is going to include the pathology. Because people are going to get problems according to their nature, according to their fundamental pattern. Otherwise, we'd all have all the same problems. There'd be no individualization. So I'm trying to see who is this? Who is this? How does their organism tick? So I'm really interested in the job that they do. Now, some people do a job, they don't really like their job. They're in there for some other reason. All right, that's not so interesting. Here's someone who does the job and they really like the job that they do, which means that they're good at it. Because if you really like it, you're good at it. And then I'm trying to understand what special skills do they have which enables them to be good at this? What is that they like about it? And so you can get someone like, we'll say, this is very simplistic, but someone who's an accountant. And what they really like about the accounting is that in the end, you always know the answer. It's really clear. You can go through these figures and you can come to the end and it's settled. You know the answer. numbers don't change. And this is a need for a certain structure. Whereas someone else, their special skill is to come into companies which are failing, to see the whole situation, to take all kinds of diverse information, synthesize it into one line of action and move. And for me, this is a totally different way of being in the world. It requires completely different skills, and it comes from a completely different area of nature. So for me, this is a very one way in which I separate mineral remedies from animal remedies, is how their brain works, what form their thought takes. Am I making sense? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, you're moving forward, answering questions that I haven't even, put forth to you, but you're going in the right direction. To answer some of my unanswered questions, what I was going to ask basically was, you want to find out how this organism ticks, and you go about listening to maybe their job because that's what they love. So you just basically, I want to understand a little bit more about your method, and then how you take all the information in.
So I would say in the beginning, I'm as interested in what the person loves about their life as what they come to me to get rid of. I don't have an agenda of what I'd rather hear. I don't want them to talk about their pathology. I mean, they talk about it, that's what they talk about. But that's not what I'm waiting to hear. I'm waiting to hear who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I will listen until I come to some sense that's
mm-hmm.
gone deep enough that we're touching this area.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, if I can find, so to speak, the nature of the person and match it with their complaints in one remedy, I know I've got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's exciting. Maybe you can take us through an example or something. I'm just trying to picture you in your office, and a person walks in. You're automatically being observant of who they are in the same way that Hahnemann teaches in the Organon of Medicine, of the way that they walk, if they have an odor, or what they're carrying, or what they're wearing, or what their facial expression, the whole gamut.
Yes.
That is how you open. But then tell us a little bit more about how you do it. And you know what? There's supposedly people on the chat asking questions and stuff, but some reason I'm not getting any of their questions.
Maybe they're not asking any.
Well, Dr. Bob has been telephoning me on the chat there and telling me people are asking. Oh, it says, here's a question. This is Dr. Bob. That's my husband. He says, I am told that 80% of people, that's Americans, hate their jobs. They do it just to make money. Period. How do we deal with that? Or maybe you have some approach.
Well, that's not my experience.
Oh.
I wouldn't say 80% of the people hate their jobs. Not 80% of the people who come and see me.
Uh-huh.
If someone comes and they hate their job and they're doing it just to make money, then of course my interest is in why do they need to make money?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously,
right?
To support their family.
I
don't make no judgments here.
There's no, yes. And so now they're, how shall I say, they really, their mission in life is to support their family.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
So then we're really close to the center of the remedy.
Oh, I love that. That's in two lines.
It's very
so what, where do we go from there?
Well, then you've got to see, are they sort of fat and heavy or skinny and wasted? I mean, you know. Are we in the realm of, we're in the realm of support, right?
Right.
Is it a milk? Is that it? Is it this sort of underlying obligation to care? Is it that they weren't supported? And so the need for support, right? Calcarea fluorico or something like that. See, I'm working so hard because underneath I'm totally anxious. And if I don't sort of support these people, they're going to turn on me.
Oh, my.
Yes. So there are many, many different, I mean, the doorway of support can lead into many different rooms.
Definitely.
But so this is how I would take that line. Of course, if the person is not, if they're just doing their job for money, then money becomes the issue.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing their job, so to speak, for because it relates to something intrinsic in them, then that becomes the issue. But I find mostly, I remember this case, a woman came and she was studying to be a CPA, and I said, well, what is it? I didn't sort of get it. And to be a CPA was of no interest to her. It was the fast track. The fast track to getting rich. The fast track to being someone. So then that's where the movement starts to go. Into why do we need a fast track? Why do we need to be someone? And the job itself becomes totally unimportant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I suppose this then relates to what I would say the formation of the underlying attitudes. Because in
that,
the end...
Yeah, that's your target.
Yes.
The underlying
right.
attitudes.
Yes, that's the target.
Okay. Let me see if anybody has any other questions. I don't know if you want me to ask. Let's see, we've got one of these red gypsy. Actually, it is often not the job people dislike intensely. It is who they are doing it for. And also we've got... Dr. Bob says, back to the birds, there are many birds. How does one... Oh, he wants to go back to the birds.
Okay. Let's go back to the birds.
Okay. Back to the birds.
There are many birds. How does one... What?
I guess how does one choose them? We only have 5 minutes left to the show. Or we could probably extend it and talk longer if you wish.
Well,
okay.
I actually have to be somewhere so we can extend
okay.
this 5 minutes or something.
Okay.
But this is why I'm saying, if we had to find the exact minimum for everyone, it would be hopeless. So
mm-hmm.
there are many birds.
I'm sorry, I'm losing your sound. Is your mic?
How are we doing? Is this better?
Just make a little adjustment on your headset there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, keep going. So if we had to find the exact similimum, we're hopeless?
It would be hopeless.
Uh-huh.
And in a sense, I have this, I don't know what you'd call it, aphorism, you know, that only God knows the remedy for everyone. And then I get to see how far away I am from God. So maybe there's a bird which really is going to fit this person exactly. But we don't know that. So from a category of birds, we see that this is, we get into the ballpark and the remedy helps.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's like this. And early, and I believe it's also true for all provings, for all things, that like Lachesis, for example, it was the archetype of the snake. For many, many years. And it's like every time one sees a snake, it's going to be... It's going to be Lachesis.
Mm-hmm.
I got to turn the sound off here. Yes. But then, in the beginning, it works that way, and after a while... it doesn't work as well. And mm-hmm. what that means is that we've, so to speak, spent our inheritance without furthering it. So it's like the energy comes in and here's this remedy. But after time, there's a responsibility on the practitioners, in a sense, to refine their understanding. And so then it's necessary to see the other snakes and to understand the differences between them. But we can't, even now, we need computers to contain the information which is available to us. And I'm not sure that this is actually the right direction.
Hmm.
And in a sense, how shall I say, I'll put it differently, that by itself, it is not the right direction. What it needs, while one is sort of expanding the amount of data, it's equally, if not more necessary, to find a way to simply unify that data so one isn't just forced out into more and more details in the world. Because for me, that is not the path. The path is back towards unity. And this is why I would say it's so difficult for people to even begin to understand the, how shall I say, essential idea of homeopathy, which is the idea of unity, that the organism is somehow a single moving energy and that you need a remedy to meet that. Not a remedy for this part or for that part or for another part. And it's really hard for people to grasp this. Really, really hard.
Right. You know, this has been absolutely fascinating, Jonathan, and I've enjoyed speaking with you, and hopefully you will come back again and do this again, because we've got a good number of listeners, and I'm sure that a lot of people will download this archive show. I want to encourage people to go to the to go to the link and take a look at Jonathan's bird book, because if he's got 30% of his cases are birds, we're missing out a huge portion of helping people if we don't take a look and learn to be able to recognize that type of energy when it walks into the room or flies in or out. So I know that you have to go, and our full hour of time talking to you is up. And let me know if you would like to come back and do this again. It's been really wonderful.
Well, I would say if people are interested and they have enough questions, in other words, then we can go further.
Okay.
We can do more. If nobody downloads, nobody's interested, people ask, well, when is your next book coming out? If that's the level of question, then there's no point.
I asked that question, but that wasn't my main question.
Yes.
I want to learn about the butterflies so we can metamorphosize. Okay. So I want to thank everyone for listening. This has been Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community. Until next time, and I don't have any music to sign us out, so we're just going to end the show. Thank you, everyone. And put comments onto the website. Bye-bye.
Bye.